The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, Upfront the A-List, 8 Things Donna Mills Suggests Doing Now. At age 60 or 70 or later, you have so much more to contribute. Don't just sit down and say, I'm done. 1. Keep moving. I started out as a professional dancer. That kind of discipline helps you in every area of life. Usually, if people get tired, they're done. But dancers know that being tired, being in a little pain, that's just the process. So, you just keep going. You go through it. 2. Take the detours. I was single. I was 54, and I badly wanted to be a mother. It was not a tough decision to adopt, so I stopped working for many years while Chloe, now 28, a model and executive at Soho House, was in school, and it was exactly the right thing to do. Play the odds. As an actress, I've been rejected a lot. But if you do 20 auditions and you get one job, you're doing well. 4. Keep in touch. Joan Van Ark and Michelle Lee are still dear friends 40 years after Knots Landing. We even get together for the fans. And some show up wearing that dramatic eye makeup, like my character, Abby. 5. Know your character. Back in the Knots days, a lot of women were standoffish to me in real life. I couldn't figure out why. Then I realized it was my character. They thought I was going to take their husband. 6. Be open to love. I met actor and producer Larry Gilman at age 60. I lucked out. Before him, I kind of went for the bad boys. But when I met him, I just knew I was going for the not bad boy. 7. Eat green and carry on. During my soap opera years, I never ate pasta, bread, cookies, or any of that. Now I eat, but I'm careful. For instance, I grow, pick, and eat a lot of vegetables. I also play tennis and work out with light weights. Like almost everyone my age, I have arthritis, and let me tell you, it hurts sometimes. And finally, 8, look ahead. I'm in my third act and was recently cast in a new movie as a vicious, sadistic grandmother. And that's what I want next, a whole series like Succession, which I love, where I can be evil to my heart's content. And this article was as told to Judith Newman. Emmy winner Donna Mills, 81, recently appeared in the Jordan Peele thriller Nope and stars in a Lifetime movie series, V.C. Andrews' Dawn Cutler, to be released in 2023. Now, also in AARP the magazine, Upfront Eat, How to Crush Your Next Orange Purchase. Oranges have become like apples. So many types, so many choices. James Beard Award-nominated chef Niven Patel of Orno Restaurant in Coral Gables, Florida, offers a guide to the array of great options for salads, entrees, drinks, desserts, and more. And there's a picture here of all these different kinds of oranges. And, man, do they look yummy. Navel orange. Look, classic orange color inside and out, with a belly button. Taste, sweet and juicy, best for slicing, roasting, syrup, cocktails. Caracara orange, my favorite. Look, it's orange on the outside, pinkish inside from pigment lycopene, an antioxidant. Taste, tangy, best for fish and salads. Sumo orange. Look, large with a knot on top, easy to peel. Taste, juicy and as sweet as candy. Best for eating fresh or adding juice to cakes. Valencia orange. Look, classic orange without the navel. Taste, super juicy. best for OJ or sangria. Mandarin orange, look, small and round with a thin peel. Taste, hint of vanilla and spice. Best for orange chicken. Blood orange, look, orange outside, red inside. From anthocyanins, antioxidants. Taste, super sweet, floral. Best for marmalade. And Meniola tangelo, look, large with a slightly elongated neck. Taste, sweet, tart, and juicy. A hybrid of a Duncan grapefruit and a Dancy mandarin with similar flavor notes. Best for pastries. Now for a couple of small items here. One, up front on the go, noise a noise. How to secure a quiet hotel room. Looking to decompress and get a good night's sleep? Here's how to maximize your chance of having a peaceful stay. Research the walls. Read online reviews and look for references to thin walls, noisy plumbing, nearby trains, or frequent parties. Go where the crowds aren't. For business travel, book a vacation hotel, which should be less busy on weekdays. For weekend leisure, hit a business hotel. Focus on location. Hotels that are not near downtowns or entertainment districts tend to be less noisy, says Hotel.com, Melissa Doman. Choose your room. Get on the quieter side of a hotel by steering clear of elevators, stairways, vending machines, and the pool. Upgrade. Hotel strategic planning consultant Adam Mogolansky notes that noise issues tend to lessen as you move up star rating levels. Now, take a ride, get a deal. Cities are making their public transportation easy and affordable for older riders. As leave the car behind becomes a growing mantra for vacationers, here's what to expect in three popular American cities. In Seattle, a regional reduced fare permit, ORCA, card, gets riders 65 and older $1.50 off per ride. It works with multiple transit agencies from ferries to buses. In New Orleans, riders 65 and older pay 40 cents, two-thirds off, to ride on buses and the iconic streetcars, or get unlimited daily rides for 80 cents with a Jazzy Pass. And in Nashville, WeGo is half off for riders age 65 and older, but you have to apply. Discounted rates are $2 for an all-day pass, or $20 will get you 20 rides. Now moving on to AARP The Bulletin, this article, Stay Healthy This Winter. COVID lingers, flu season is at hand, and germs are everywhere. Here's how you can reduce your risk. So we're continuing with this article today. Beyond vaccines, what's the latest thinking on protecting myself from COVID? Galeastostos recommends keeping two tools at your disposal, rapid tests and well-fitting masks. Testing ahead of holiday gatherings and after exposure can help identify infections so that you don't spread it to loved ones. And while you're probably sick of masks by now, he recommends wearing a tightly fitting one. Those include N95, KN95, or KF94, if you're planning on being out in public for an hour or two, leisurely grocery shopping, or taking public transportation. A quick 10-minute grocery run, slap on a disposable surgical mask, and be on your way. With all this at-home testing, how do we know if COVID is increasing or not? The increase in home testing is already baked into the CDC's estimates of COVID infection numbers, said Davis Sinimo, MD, Associate Professor of Medicine at Rutgers New Jersey Medical School. But for a truly accurate statistic, look at hospitalization rates. If the number is rising in your region, COVID is on the rise and your caution should be as well. Currently, it's holding steady nationwide. Hospitalizations spiked in winter. The U.S. saw a peak of close to 155,000 people hospitalized in January 2022. The previous January, we hit 135,000. I've already had COVID once. Does that make me less likely to get it again? Not fully. Think of COVID as like a supercharged common cold. Coming down with it once doesn't mean you can't get sick again. The virus changes enough over time that the immune response you develop against one version is enough to protect against serious illness, but not from developing another infection, said Stephen Lawrence, MD, Washington University infectious disease specialist at Barnes Jewish Hospital. And every new infection brings new risks of complications, including long COVID. What's the deal with COVID rebounds? When President Biden tested positive over the summer, he was quick to receive the antiviral medication Paxlovid. He recovered, emerged from isolation, and then, oops, he tested positive again. It was back into isolation. This is called a rebound infection. These may occur in roughly 1 in 4 cases. Studies show that Paxlovid does not reduce the risk of rebound infections, but it does greatly reduce the risk of hospitalization and death. A leading hypothesis is that the rebound we're seeing is no different than stopping an antibiotic prematurely and allowing the microbe to come back. The antiviral killed off the amount needed to eliminate the infection, but not all of the virus, so it grew back like a weed. Importantly, though, it doesn't mean that the drug failed. It's still very effective in preventing serious illness when taken appropriately. That said, if your symptoms do come back, you'll have to start your 5-day isolation all over again, according to the CDC guidelines. Should I ask for antivirals if I test positive for COVID? Yes. Early treatment with Paxlovid or Lagrivio, another antiviral, can help individuals out of the hospital, can keep you out of the hospital, and minimize the risk of death, said Thomas Chai, MD, Senior Policy Advisor for the White House COVID-19 Response Team. But getting the drugs into the hands of those who are most vulnerable is critical. Historically, we have always seen underutilization of the treatments for our older populations, and this is why older individuals are often the most vulnerable groups. Our older Americans are, once again, bearing the highest burden of severe outcomes from COVID-19, including higher rates of hospitalization and, unfortunately, death. Reach out to your doctor about antivirals if you suspect COVID. Now, there's a number of sidebars with this article, but here's one. So you have flu-like symptoms. Now what? Take a COVID test. Negative. Wait 1 day, take another COVID test. Still have flu symptoms? Call your doctor. If you test positive for the flu, you may be able to take Tamiflu, an antiviral that can speed recovery by 2 to 3 days. You must start it within 48 hours of your symptoms, so don't wait. If you test positive, call your doctor. You may be eligible for COVID treatments such as Paxlovid, an antiviral that dramatically reduces the odds of hospitalization or death, but must be taken within 5 days of symptoms starting. Not everyone needs to be treated for COVID. For mild symptoms, just rest, hydrate, and isolate, says Northwestern University geriatrician June McCoy, MD. But especially if you're at high risk, you should discuss the next steps with your doctor. Either way, plan on staying at home for 5 days. Now, how do you feel? If you feel better, if your symptoms are gone, it's okay to go back out into the world. But if you had a positive COVID test, mask for another 5 days through day 10. You don't have to wait for a negative test. Tests were initially designed to identify the presence of an infection, not the resolution of one. Certain proteins of the virus may linger even after the active infection is over. If you need to go out, strike a balance between being realistic and being safe. But if you still feel icky, continue to ride it out at home. If that's not possible, wear a tight-fitting mask when you leave the house, but it's important to allow your body to recover. Did your doctor say you had the flu? If he says yes, take care of yourself by watching all the TV you can and sleeping. Prioritize drinking fluids. Take a fever reducer like Tylenol. Stay away from others and mask up if you need to go out. Call your doctor right away if you experience red flag symptoms such as shortness of breath, unsteadiness on your feet, and worsening symptoms, or if you're not urinating, all of which could be signs of pneumonia or other serious complications. But if your doctor says that you don't have the flu, it might be the common cold or any number of other viral illnesses such as respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, that are circulating. It's not necessary to test to ID what's going on. These viruses have no direct treatment. Colds can still go south, so if you're coughing up green or brown phlegm or have pain in your chest, call your doctor. This may be a bacterial infection, such as pneumonia, that might require antibiotics. Another sidebar, is it COVID, the flu, or a cold? It's likely COVID if fever or chills, sore throat and cough, shortness of breath, fatigue, muscle aches, headache, loss of taste or smell, runny or stuffy nose, nausea or vomiting, diarrhea. There's an asterisk here after fever or chills. For adults over 65, a fever is considered one thermometer reading higher than 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Multiple thermometer readings above 99 degrees or a rise in temperature greater than 2 degrees above normal body temperature. It's likely the flu if you feel as if you got hit by a truck suddenly. Fever and chills, muscle aches, sore throat and cough, runny or stuffy nose, headache and fatigue. It's likely a cold if it comes on slowly over 2 or 3 days. Runny or stuffy nose, sneezing, sore throat and cough, watery eyes, rarely a fever, and nasal mucus that starts clear but turns to white, yellow, or green after 2 to 3 days. Now let's go back to AARP, the magazine, and look at a few more little items here. Don't strand those lights. Why not use some of those holiday decorations throughout the year? Light up the dark. After taking down the Christmas tree, hang those strings of lights around your porch. Nestle them in a planting box, or weave them around for your mantelpiece, advises Bree Eggert, a do-it-yourself and craft influencer on social media. That really helps in the winter when it's just so dark. And immortalize cards. If you've been mailed a Christmas card with a family portrait on the front, snap a photo with your phone and use it for the sender's contact image. Skip the wreath grief. These hangings can be true evergreens. Replace the baubles and festive bow with a black and white checked ribbon, or tie a bow with some burlap. Both will create a rustic farmhouse look. Now let's clear the air. With windows sealed tight during the winter, lingering in-home air pollutants can be tough on aging lungs and diminished immune systems. A room air purifier, usually between $100 and $500, can help cure your home's halitosis. Here's some tips. A unit should complete 4 room air changes per hour or have a clean air delivery rate, CADR, of 300 cubic feet per minute. 2, stick to air purifiers that are certified by either of these organizations, American Home Appliance Manufacturers or Energy Star. And 3, be wary of units with bipolar ionization. The EPA warns that they may generate potentially harmful byproducts. Now let's take a look at cooktops. There are 4 different kinds. Are you still cooking with gas? Concerns over energy use and in-home air quality have turned some homeowners against natural gas stoves and toward a relatively new type, induction. These high-tech cooktops using electromagnetic coils cost about $200 more than other options, which tend to run $700 to $800 for mid-price models. Buying a range in which a stove sits atop an oven in a single unit means additional costs. So let's look at electric. The pros: heating elements today are under smooth glass surfaces. This makes cooking and cleaning easier. Relatively easy to have installed because they plug into a 220 volt outlet. The cons: electric cooktops take time to heat up and cool down, giving you less control over temperature. Burners remain hot for a time after you turn them off, increasing the risk of accidental burns. Now, induction cooktops. The pros: burners transfer energy rather than heat to pots and pans. They get hot, but the stove does not. Changes in temperature are quicker than with electric, giving the cook more control. The cons: these models are typically more expensive than other types of cooktops. Special cookware is needed. Your current pots and pans may not work with an induction stove. Natural gas. The pros: the ability to instantly increase or lower the heat gives the cook considerably more control. There is a reason professional cooks favor this type of stove for their cooking. Cons: open flame poses some risk of fire and burns. And recent studies show that using a gas-fueled stove can result in elevated levels of nitrogen oxides, which are toxic gases. A leak can be deadly. And finally, propane. Pros: this links to an external tank that gets refilled. It's useful if no natural gas source is available. By producing twice as much energy per unit as natural gas, propane uses half the fuel. Cons: these are actually converted natural gas cooktops. Do your homework before buying. Propane also has emissions, but they're not considered as harmful as natural gas. Now, also from AARP, the magazine, the next article we're going to look up is under Upfront Play, and it's what we love about the Super Bowl. Now, we won't be able to get all of these in today, but I'll continue with them next week, too. Sure, the game itself, but everything surrounding the event is super, too. There's a quick quiz. Can you name one American who has never watched a Super Bowl? That's a trick question, because according to Nielsen, few such people exist. Of the 32 most watched TV programs in U.S. history, 30 of them are Super Bowls. This year's National Football League Championship takes place on Sunday, February 12th in Glendale, Arizona. It will be the 57th Super Bowl, an event we love in so many ways. So here we go. The pregame, 30 minutes. That's how much time TV networks usually spend setting up the game in the early years. But in 1978, before Denver played Dallas, CBS needed to fill some extra time because a golf tournament earlier in the day was postponed. And so the Marathon pregame show was born. NBC's 2022 pregame stretched for 5 hours. The food. Italy might be where pizza was born, but Super Bowls are where it gives us the most heartburn. We eat more than 12.5 million pizzas on the day of the big game. The most popular topping? It's easy to pick that winner. Pepperoni, says the American pizza community. Americans ate a whole lot of a very American cuisine, some 1.42 billion chicken wings, while watching the Cincinnati Bengals play the Los Angeles Rams last season, according to a real authority on the matter, the National Chicken Council. The commercials. Hey, kid, catch. Pittsburgh defensive lineman Mean Joe Green limps into the locker room. A young fan gives him a Coca-Cola. Green brightens up and tosses the kid his game jersey. Thanks, Mean Joe. The spot debuted in the fall of 1979. but notably ran during the 1980 Super Bowl. In 1984, Won't Be Like 1984, directed by filmmaker Rodney Scott and inspired by George Orwell's 1984, and airing that year, the ad portrays a woman throwing a sledgehammer into a giant video screen broadcasting a Big Brother figure. The epic ad announced the coming debut of Apple Macintosh computers. The cans are growing wild. The Bud Bowl was staged in commercials throughout the 1989 Super Bowl. Bud Bowl 1 was so popular that 7 more followed over the years. So we'll do more on that next time. For now, for the remainder of our time, let's go back to some of these tips that we have in AARP, the bulletin. This one is a food fad bandwagon. My daughter is trying to convince me to join her on a fasting regimen. Smart or dumb? It depends on what the regimen looks like. Fasting has been linked to reduced inflammation and, in animal studies, longevity. But restricting calories too severely can slow your metabolism and accelerate muscle loss. You're probably fine starting with a 12-hour fast. If you finish dinner at 7, don't eat again until 7 a.m. That will reduce your overall calorie intake, giving you time to digest and even allow the body to burn some fat for energy overnight. But anything longer than that should probably start with a visit to your doctor. And that was answered by Elizabeth D. Robertus, registered dietitian and certified diabetes educator, Scarsdale Medical Group, an affiliate of White Plains Hospital in New York. Do you have high anxiety? Every now and then, a wave of anxiety just washes over me. Recent studies show that as many as 1/4 of older adults are experiencing feelings of anxiety. These are two common manifestations. For some, it feels like a nagging worry, tension, or restlessness that happens throughout the day. And then others, like you, experience a sudden onset that may come with shortness of breath, a racing heartbeat, sweating, or other physical symptoms. To relieve either form, try anxiety-releasing routine a few times each day. Relax your jaw and shoulders, then move down your body from there, relaxing everything as you go. When an anxious thought strikes, get up and do something different to interrupt that pattern of thought. Breathing in for 4 seconds and hold for 2 and exhaling for 8 can also help. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.